Welcome to Wembley.
Grayson is clear. He's got Paris with him. And it's hooked away by Edwards. Dean Pier is on for Northampton Town as a replacement for David Rennie. Hunter poised to take yet another long throw. Samson Corbett. Warburton's in there. Lee, who's won a free kick right on the edge of the penalty area. Frayne, charged down by Coates. Frayne again, and he's got it! What a marvellous goal from John Frayne.
Hello and welcome to It's All Cobblers to Me. This is our Wembley 97 series, looking back at that amazing, memorable game 25 years ago at Wembley Stadium, where, of course, John Frayne made it so in the 93rd minute, beating Swansea. Oh, 1-0. Oh, the memories coming flooding back. On this episode, we're bringing you a replay of an episode that we first released back in May 2019. It was the first time that the anniversary of that Wembley win came around while we were doing the pod, and I, Charles, sat down with Danny and Neil to talk about our memories of that day, and I wanted to replay it for you because it was a great episode talking about our memories. We've heard from some of the players, so let's hear from past us. Why not? So sit back, relax, and enjoy as we go back into what was episode 35 of It's All Cobblers to Me.
Frayne again, and he's got it!
Gavin was closing in. Oh, Gavin has scored!
Abdul Osman against Brad Jones to put Liverpool out of the cup, and Northampton 3!
Yes!
Northampton have
got it!
22 years ago today, John Frayne hit a free kick for the second time and put it straight past Roger Freestone to send 32,000 Northampton fans into joyous rapture at the home of football, Wembley. Welcome to It's All Cobblers to Me and a Wembley 97 special. How are you doing, guys? All right?
Wonderful.
Wembley, Wembley.
It's not the FA Cup. We don't care, Charles. It's good enough.
We're good, Charles. We're very good. And I'm mostly excited in the hope that you have a little clip of Six Fields Boys for us.
Well, you say that, and I don't. And I don't.
Oh.
Sorry.
Oh, right. Well, let's end the podcast then.
You've actually got Warehouse live in the studio with you, Charles.
Studio?
Dungeon, sorry.
Charles' dungeon.
In podcast towers. No, Warehouse, they couldn't join us, I'm afraid.
Oh, that's a shame.
You mean they had prior engagement?
They did, that's yes. Glastonbury.
Seems unlikely.
It's one of those. I mean, they did send us a little message.
With the Cobblers.
It's a good start, isn't it? Bit long.
Now we're on a roll.
The dulcet tones.
Yes.
Yes.
It's 100 years. The Twin Towers are getting near.
It's just lyrical genius.
The FA Cup. We don't care. It's good enough. If we win this match for you, we're going up to Division 2. Oh, no, that's the town. We're not.
Does that bring back the memories?
Oh,
I tell you what.
I remember
this, yes.
Buying this cassette from Spinner Disc.
Great shot. Cassette. I'll tell you what, that has caused a stir in that, has Charles.
Oh, what kind of stir? I'm a bit worried about that, Neil.
Well, you should be. I'm upset we didn't get to the Hawaii 5-0 part.
We don't have enough time to play all of it. It's like 5 minutes long, Neil.
Well, that could just be the podcast.
on a loop.
Yeah.
So come on, let's take everyone back to 1997. The Cobblers finished fourth in what was the old Division 3 back then. Did you know we finished 14 points off the automatic places?
No.
I did, yes, Charles, because I consulted the same Wikipedia page as you.
Well, you guys prepped, did you?
A little bit.
Right. I've just been drinking beer.
To be fair, Neil, it was, 22 years ago. I was about 13 at the time.
Also, it was about 22 years since we've been waiting for Neil to come onto the podcast as well.
Well, I did think I went with normal timekeeping because I didn't want to make things different.
It's all right. You're coming in the 93rd minute to save the day.
I do often come quite late, so that's fine.
It's the editing.
No, you can't edit that. Come on.
Anyway.
Charles, you promised us a racy podcast.
Anyway, right. Get back on topic. We were 14 points. I don't remember. I remember that season being, that was probably one of the first seasons that I went fairly regularly. I think before 96, 97, I was probably taken a handful of times in a season. That was the first year where me and my dad sort of maybe went to at least half the home games. But I don't really remember us being that far behind the rest of the league.
Well, we had a poor start. I remember we had a relatively ropey start to the season. And we sort of, by mid-October, we weren't in the playoffs or anything. I don't think we were struggling, but we certainly weren't pulling up any trees, as they say, in tree pulling up circles. So,
we lost that first game at Wigan where we had two players sent off and the team bus broke down on the motorway.
Yeah, we lost 2-1, didn't we?
On the first day of the season, that kind of set the tone for the first bit of the season. And I think we'd lost quite a few games in that mix. So we had
I was just looking at the results here from 10th of September. Well, pretty much for the whole of September, we didn't win until the end of September. We beat Brighton at home 3-0. But if you look at our sort of last results of the season, we went unbeaten from March.
That was it, wasn't it? I think I remember that Wigan game, that home game, because I think we were still outside playoffs at that point, and that Wigan game felt like that was it then. We couldn't do enough to get back in, and we needed some sort of like miracle run to the end of the season to pick it back up and get in the playoffs. We ended up fourth, I think, didn't we? And it was pretty tight. I think we were going into the last game of the season still needing something at home to Scunthorpe to confirm it. And but yeah, it was definitely a tight season. We'd lost and won. We hadn't really drawn that many games. And I was looking back on the results, like you were saying, Neil, it looks like we only lost one game by more than a goal. So there's a lot of typical Atkins-style tight games, apart from maybe the January, where we'd just gone on a mad spree of
we lost to Darlington, didn't we, 3-1 in November.
That looks like the only one that we lost with by more than a goal, which is typifies Atkins' play, I suppose, isn't it?
This was that season where, do you remember, we had this from the 28th of December, we had four games in a row and we beat Barnet 2-0. Cardiff at home 4-0, Chester 5-1, and Hartlepool 3-0. It was like the greatest run ever at that time.
Yeah, we kind of ended up with four home games in a row because of postponements or whatever, didn't we? And Matthew Rush's month on loan was that month as well, and he kind of tore the league apart for a month or so. And I think he scored in that 5-1 Chester game, and then just went back to
Was one
to
of those Norwich. Games when Larry jumped into the snow, or was that a different season?
Yeah, that was the Hartlepool one.
That was Hartlepool, was it?
3-0. Yeah, that was his hat trick and the snow dive.
So let's bring it to the actual playoffs and talk quickly about the semi final.
Oh yeah.
Oh, talk about the semi, Charles.
We got Sean Parrish.
So obviously we go away and make the long journey to Cardiff, We leave Sean Parrish somewhere around Birmingham, don't we? Just so that he can pick the ball up from there.
We do, don't we? But what a goal. What a goal.
It was a tremendous goal. One that he will never stop talking about until the day he dies.
Oh, nor should he, Charles.
We'd had Mark Cooper sent off as well, haven't we?
Yeah, I forgot about that.
I'd forgotten about Mark Cooper.
Well, did that keep him out?
Mark Cooper, he was the one that used to celebrate when he got Man of the Match awards. How could you forget about him?
I jest.
But yeah, he was out of the final for that, wasn't
it? Not a bad thing, because it meant Christian Lee could step up.
It's true. £1 million Christian Lee. Oh.
I went to the Cardiff away game in the playoffs on the coach. And ooh. I was only quite young. I must have been, 14, I think, or around that age. And it was genuinely one of the most terrifying experiences I've ever had.
It was Ninian Park at that time, wasn't it?
It was Ninian Park.
Stuck in the corner of the terrace, and it was just...
Yeah, it was uncovered.
There and at Swansea, you just used to get absolute pelters.
It was raining. They were throwing bottles of urine over us, coins at us.
Urine
and lobbed them at us.
Later.
But then when we came out, I remember, because obviously we'd won 1-0, and then when we came out, the police were trying to segregate their fans from our fans, and there was literally just stones flying, bricks flying, everything. It was ridiculous. I didn't enjoy it.
How old were you at this point, Neil, just as a context?
I was 14, and when we scored, I was obviously jumping around, going wild, celebrating, and I lost one of my shoes. So I had to go back home with only one shoe because I couldn't find it. So I don't know what happened to it. So when I left Ninian Park and trying to get back to the coach, while there was stones flying around and bottles of piddle and stuff and all that, and I had one shoe on, trying to hop to the coach. It was ridiculous.
That's an amazing story.
It wasn't great at the time.
Did you have a new pair of shoes by the time the second leg took place at Sixfields?
I mean, obviously, Charles.
Yeah, he had a first leg, to be fair, didn't he?
I was really hoping that you actually went to... Your mum just sent you to Sixfields for the second leg with the same shoe.
What would have been better if Cardiff had found the shoe for me and brought it down on their team coach?
So move on to this second leg then. Why is it that we don't look at this game in the same way as we do the playoff semi-finals the following year against Bristol Rovers?
Well, it's pretty obvious, isn't it?
Well, I know that there's the whole... Me and Danny were talking about this before we started recording, and obviously there is that whole thing of the fact that against Bristol Rovers a year later, we were 3-1 down going into that second leg of the playoff semi-finals. And obviously, against Cardiff, we were going in 1-0 up. But, I mean, the game finished 3-2. It wasn't exactly a boring match where we just saw it out. And we got to Wembley, and not only that did we get to Wembley, but then we won at Wembley that year. Whereas we didn't the year that we played.
It wasn't a boring match at all, but I think it was... Did we go 3-1 up?
I think it was more like we were pretty comfortable at the time. We were already a goal up, and then we scored the first goal. They equalised, and then I think they had a player sent off, didn't they?
He'd made his way back from Ninian Park, bouncing around on the Cobblers fans.
He did, yeah. It sent the things. The same Cardiff player that got sent off in the league at Sixfields as well, ironically. And then we scored again, and we were always that kind of two goals in front, so it felt more like a party than a comeback. And I suppose that's why it gets a little bit lost. But I think if Bristol Rovers doesn't happen, this gets remembered as the big Sixfields night, doesn't it? It just gets lost in the haze.
Yeah, I think it's the whole Bristol Rovers thing. Like you said, Charles, we were 3-1 down, weren't we? Their Tannoy announcer at their ground had mentioned about Wembley tickets and stuff and Wembley plans, hadn't he? Which had riled our fans up, and I'm sure it got back to the players and stuff. So there was just more around it, and it was a bit more of the big comeback as such.
So what are your memories of the day itself at Wembley, boys? Do you guys, I mean, we were all quite young, but can you guys remember anything specific about it? Any tears? Any fond memories? Maybe you got lifted up in the air by your dad, Danny, or something.
You've been
like
reading
that.
My blog, Charles. It's a bit of, I don't know, it's a bit of a haze in some ways, I think, because it's one of those days where you're a kid. I think it's coming off the back of what was Euro 96 the previous summer, and that was the kind of the time when I was just starting to get really, really into football, and you'd been going to the county ground and stuff before that and enjoying the match and the atmosphere. But I think Euro 96 and the Cobblers rise, it kind of came along at the same time, and you kind of remember the run into the season for the first time and sort of looking at the permutations and stuff and getting really, really excited, and everything around town was just amazing. Like, before, like in the week before, there's a massive build-up, flags being sold around the town centre, Six Fields Boys being sung everywhere, maybe not everywhere, but just everything on the news and in the build-up and stuff, and you get your free Chronicle pull-outs and all that. It's just the first time it's happened to us, and the first kind of time where we've been successful in our lifetime, especially, and we've had a lot of bad times at the county ground and almost going bust and the buckets coming out, and Atkins just came in and turned everything around. And so it's the kind of the first time where it all came together and something massive happened to the club. And I think in the build-up especially, it was just a special time to be a Cobblers fan, especially around that age where all your friends at school are coming in Chelsea and Man United tops on Mufti Day, and you're sort of sat there as the sole Cobblers fan in the year or whatever, and so they've all mocked you for the last however many years, and suddenly you get your moment. Does that answer your question, Charles? I've just gone off on a massive ramble. I've not even talked about the match yet.
Neil, what were your any memories of the build up?
So I went with my friend who we used to play for Brixworth Juniors, and we got a coach down, I think. But in our infinite wisdom, because we were 14, we thought, you know, we'll paint our faces. So we had half claret, half white, an NTFC on it. And we also thought we'd dye our hair claret as well. So we dyed our hair claret. And,
didn't Andy Roberts do this as well, the Chronicle?
I think he did, actually,
Now on the trust, isn't he?
Yeah, I think he did. But it was do you remember, it was a really, really hot day. Mm. And ridiculously, the face paints were just dripping off us, and the hair, the stuff we'd used to dye our hair claret clearly wasn't expensive stuff. And
was it just like a spray?
Yeah, it was. It literally was. Yeah. And that was starting to drip, and we looked a right mess. But obviously, we didn't care when Frayne scored.
I don't know what your memories, but I don't know if you walked up Wembley Way and stuff, but you're kind of all you used to see in Wembley Way on the telly, and like I said, with Euro 96 and everything like that, and seeing the hoopla around cup finals and the build up to it, and you're just suddenly walking on it and you're thinking, what, are we really here? And like, we're not used to being successful as the Cobblers, that are we really walking at Wembley Way ourselves? And we'd completely outnumbered the Swansea fans as well, so it's just like a sea of claret, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was one of my abiding memories actually was just getting into the stadium and just seeing so much claret everywhere. Because obviously we'd not seen that before, had we? I mean, even at Six Fields, you don't necessarily see that much claret, really. You see it.
When it's empty, you do.
Some of them are. Yeah, but it was just, wasn't it? There's so many flags, and there was a lot of people in silly comedy wigs and all that sort of thing, and some idiots had painted their faces and dyed their hair. And it was a bit like, because I think that was the second time I'd ever been to Wembley. The first time was with my school, and it was like an England under 21s game, I think, and there was hardly anyone there, and it wasn't a particularly great experience. It was a really rubbish game as well. I think I played Sweden. So to go to Wembley and see it like that, and it be your own team you're following, it was brilliant.
I'm Chris Freestone, and it's all Cobblers to me.
So let's talk about the actual game then, boys. Obviously, not a lot happened, really, did it? Until one particular small Brummy lad stepped up twice.
To be honest, I can't remember much of the game.
No, I was thinking this earlier, Neil, but there's a highlights package on YouTube which is split into two lots of 10 minutes, and I'm like, where did you get 20 minutes of highlights from? I think I can remember three or four moments, but that's about it.
Go on then, Dan. Take us through these moments that you can remember.
The ones that I remember are Carl Heggs, who obviously had gone to play for us the following year. He had a shot from, or a volley, I think, from outside the area, which Woody tipped over. I remember a breakaway at the other end where I think Parrish passed it, or Larry passed it to Parrish, and he nearly scored. And then there was Christian Lee, the first £1 million player. Flashed a header wide at the start of the second half.
He did, didn't he? He almost went through in a one-on-one, didn't he, at one point?
He possibly did, yeah. Just scuffed it, I think.
Sounds like Christian Lee.
Yeah.
Was there also a moment in the game where Jan Mulby tried to do a turn in the centre circle and he got robbed by...
Took him about half an hour, didn't it?
I think...
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that was when Christian Lee went through.
Oh, is that, well, is that what it was?
Yeah, I'm sure it was, yeah.
The abiding memory of Jan Mulgers, when I watched it back, he'd had this moment he'd had this moment with Larry, I think, where Larry's trying to get around him, and Jan Mulby's like, oh, good luck with that, or something like that, isn't he? Good luck trying to get around me, or something. This was in the days when he was player manager, wasn't he, old Jan?
He was indeed. Poor man.
Poor old Jan. Twilight of his career.
Poor old Jan. Poor old Jan Mulby. Well, of course, to sort of end the game, everyone thought it was going to go to extra time and penalties, didn't it? And then this happened.
Frayn again, and he's got it! What a marvellous goal from John Frayn. Ian Atkins off the bench. The Northampton supporters ecstatic.
I mean, it was just every man for himself at that moment, I imagine.
It was carnage, wasn't it? I remember jumping on potentially a 90-year-old man and literally just going mental. And
was it Mark Cooper?
It was Mark Cooper, yeah. You know, it's David Rennie. but the poor old boy, he looked very, very bemused by it all. I'm not sure. I think he'd perhaps been dragged along by his family or something, because he didn't even really stand up and celebrate, but he had me jumping all over him, which is probably his abiding memory, although he's probably dead now. But well, he probably is, isn't he? He was about 90. Isn't it mad, though, that free kick? Because his first attempt was atrocious, wasn't it?
It went straight into the wall, didn't it?
Yeah, it was ridiculous. And I think the ref had said that their wall encroached, didn't they?
I think that's what it was for, yeah.
Christian Edwards, I believe.
And it wasn't even a man. Even the one that went in wasn't, I mean, it was a good free kick, but it wasn't right in the corner, was it?
It was the keeper, wasn't it? Freestone. He took a little step to one side and he never seemed to be able to get back to it. Just as Frayn was running up, he seemed to step to one side and it was more in the middle of the goal than the side of the goal.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah, I mean, I've got a ropey memory of back then because I'm so old now, but yeah, I don't remember it being a Ronaldo or Messi type free kick into the top corner or anything. It was quite low down as well, wasn't it?
Hoskins.
Jesus. Can't we get through one podcast?
Come on, lads. We'll talk about Wembley. He'll never mention Hoskins. He'll not be able to. But isn't it weird, though? How Frayn signed on deadline day, didn't he?
He did, didn't he?
And just what would have happened if he'd never come in?
Christian Lee would have took the free kick.
Would we be celebrating Christian Lee Day?
We wouldn't. He would have cleared Wembley. Ball would be bouncing down Wembley Way.
He looked a bit like Ashton, didn't he?
He had similar hair. Bye, Ash.
Oh, dear.
Bye, Ash.
See you, Ash. Bye, mate.
Bye, Ash.
Have they ever been seen in the same room?
Don't, because that's going to play on my mind now, and I'm going to think, actually, they're the same person.
Look, just calm down, because we don't want any wags getting involved.
It's all right. What are you saying? We'll have Mrs. Buchanan and what's Ash's wag called? India, is it?
Yeah, Mrs. Taylor, I think.
Mrs. India Taylor.
I think that's the easiest way to do it. Anyway,
she can get involved if she wants, though, right?
Oh, dear. Anyway, back to Wembley 1997, Christian Lee and his lovely mop of a haircut.
Great hair.
Great hair. Brilliant 90s hair, that.
Very the opposite of David Rennie, wasn't he?
Oh, very much so, yes, Danny.
He got pulled off early, didn't he? Sorry.
Who got pulled off early?
David Rennie came off on the 40th minute.
He got pulled off before half time.
Where have you found this? So I'm trying to find the match report.
It's Wikipedia, mate.
Oh, it's just the Wikipedia.
The legend that is Wikipedia.
Never fails, is it, Wikipedia?
It never fails. Never fails.
97 Division 3 playoff run. It's just a little line.
This was back in the day as well, where you could only have three subs.
It was. Yeah. You are right. Do you know who our subs were, though? That's a good question, isn't it? Maybe we should play a quick game of Name That Bench.
Name it.
Name That Bench. Name the bench. Name the bench.
Name it.
Name the bench.
Name it.
Name the bench.
Name their bench.
Good. Right then, come on then. Neil, you can go first.
Well, I'll tell you who's on the bench.
Name that bench. Go on.
I'll name it, Charles. Do you want me to name all three? Because I remember.
You go for it. You go for it, Neil. And then we'll let Danny have a go at Swansea.
Nice. Dean Pearce was on the bench.
He was.
Unbelievable. Dean Pearce didn't get a starting berth at Wembley, but at least he got on. Everyone's favourite shaggy-haired right wing-back, Ali Gibb.
How Keith Keller would love a bit of Ali Gibb right now, wouldn't he?
He would love him, wouldn't he?
He's rubbing his legs.
He almost joined Rangers, didn't he, Ali Gibb? Do you remember?
Did he? Yeah. I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. I remember that. And it was around about the same time that Mal Loy played for the cricket club. And they both had pretty much the same hair.
There you go. I mean, Rangers
was a big thing in the 90s.
Rangers loss, I guess.
Random fact.
The third sub.
He could have played with Gazza.
I can't imagine Gazza would have taken too kindly to Ali Gibb running the ball up the pitch every 5 minutes. The third sub was Jason White.
Well, I've got to say his name three times.
You have to. It's like law. Big John Gale.
Of course. Yeah,
who he replaced, incidentally.
Well.
He did, on the 76th minute, no less. So come on, Danny, you give us Swansea's bench.
Swansea's bench.
If you think you're so clever.
Like Linton Brown.
Hello!
He was, I think he was wearing number 12, Linton Brown. He came on for Di Thomas.
Hello! Di Thomas. But he couldn't get a more Welsh name if he tried, could he?
He couldn't. formerly of Guiseley and Halifax as well.
Good knowledge.
Linton Brown. Sean Chappell, he was on the bench. He didn't get... He didn't get on. Someone's having a seizure. and Ryan Casey.
I've just realised.
Ryan Casey, the left back. Yeah, there's no keepers, is there?
There's no keepers.
What would have happened?
And Jan Mulby was their manager as well, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, playing manager. Yeah.
I just realised that. And also, they had Super Carl Heggs.
They did. And Steve Torpy. Do you remember Steve Torpy?
Remember Steve Torpy. He must have been about 80 then, wasn't he?
Yeah, I'm sure he would have been, to be fair, yeah.
He's like that sort of player that was around for ages, but was always about 50.
What's his face? Kwame Ampadu, who's I think is the dad of that fellow who plays for Chelsea, isn't he?
Is he?
Oh.
Ethan Ampadu, is it?
Oh, is he?
Does he play for Chelsea? Or?
I don't know. It's good knowledge, Danny. We won't question it. It's good knowledge.
Kwame Ampadu.
So it was a good game, wasn't it? Or at least it was a good ending to the game. We won. We were happy.
It was a terrible game, Charles, but it was a great outcome.
It was an awful game. It was weird. You kind of look back now and how you react as a child is completely different to how we react as an adult. Like we'd have been probably throwing ourselves on each other and whatever and sort of nail biting to the end. But I don't feel...
And back then we'd have been really calm and just maybe a few tears. No. Is that what you're saying?
I just don't...
Danny, I remind you now, you're 90-year-old man.
If we win at Wembley at any time in the next 2 years and we go together and we win, I'm jumping on all of you. I'll be naked.
I'll be full on naked.
No, what I mean is, back then, as a kid, I didn't really feel the tension of the 0-0 and it's going to extra time.
Yeah, I think you're right. I didn't. I remember I didn't feel the tension or the nerves as much as I would do now, I think.
Hmm. Yeah, when it's in, it's just joy. You just feel nothing but complete joy back then. And I think now I'd just be in tears probably. Back then I was just like, it was complete and utter joy and the celebrations on the pitch afterwards and everything. It's... Yeah, what a day.
Oh, do you remember the songs? I remember the I could put it in quote marks, but the party afterwards. what did we have? Simply the Best, Moving On Up.
Simply the Best, Moving On Up. We had Rocking All Over the World.
Yep. We Are the Champions, didn't we?
I don't think we had that.
I think we did.
Surely we did. Yeah.
I mean, technically not true because we weren't, but...
Champions of the playoffs, though.
Yeah.
There you go. There's always a way around it.
It's coming home.
I think Ian Atkins was saying that it's coming.
That must have been played.
Ian Atkins said that they wrote to them or phoned them beforehand to ask for them songs, didn't they?
Oh, really?
They requested. They had to request which songs that they chose, and apparently after that, Wembley always played those songs in cup finals.
So we, as a club, so we kind of defined the celebration music.
Indeed.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
that's an award and a half.
And we did used to run out to Leader of the Gang, didn't we? I think that got a bit, that's probably not one for nowadays.
No, maybe not.
No, yeah. I don't think so. But there was a, there was a parade as well, wasn't there, on the Monday?
Oh, yeah. The bus parade.
On the open top bus parade stuff. I was talking to someone the other day, and for whatever reason, I can't remember why it came up in conversation, but it was when we won League Two with Chris Wilder. It came up that Oxford had a parade.
No, they didn't, did they?
They did. They had an open top bus parade for coming second. And
surely not. You wouldn't do that.
For whatever reason, I was incredulous about it. I was like, because at the time I knew we all took the mick out of it, and I remember that. But then obviously a few years have passed, and then I was talking about it with someone. I was like, it's like the most ridiculous thing in the world. It's like Liverpool having a parade for coming second in the Prem.
That's unbelievable. I never knew that.
It is. It's just, I know they got promoted, so it's slightly different, I guess, to comparing it to Liverpool. But you runners up, you came second. You can't have a parade for it.
We didn't have a parade the year that Calderwood took us up, did we? Did we finish third that year? Were we second?
Yeah, I think we finished third.
Second, I think. Were we second that year? Or I think we finished third when we won at Torquay.
Oh, that was it, yeah. And we didn't have an open-top bus parade then. We did have Lee Howie stood on top of a bus that year, but not...
Poor bus.
Going round, not going round the whole of town Northampton. The only time that's actually happened was 97 and 2016.
I just think it was... I've digressed from Wembley 97, but it came up in conversation, and I was just like, that is the most ridiculous thing, and I don't know why I didn't take the mick out of it as much at the time. But there you go.
Probably because you were in the town centre getting drunk yourself.
Potentially yeah. So, Danny, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, potentially so.
But yeah, great day as well, wasn't it? That parade. Seeing the claret all around town again. And we've not seen really the like of it again since until Wilder did it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a great day, wasn't it?
It was a great day. And think about it this way, you know, I mean, it was the best day and only day we've ever had at Wembley.
Yes, it was, Charles. You're quite right.
It's All Cobblers to Me is a Vibrant Sound Media production for the fans of Northampton Town Football Club.